for the Pacifica Radio Network, welcome to a special edition of Planet Waves FM. My name is Eric Francis Coppolino, your host for the next hour or so. Today's edition is for Tuesday, the 4th day of August, 2020. Welcome to our program, wherever you may be in the world, in the future, or in your state of mind. It is good to be with you. I'll be back in a moment telling you a bit more about our special guest, Dr. Pam Popper. Once again, welcome to our program on a rainy, blustery, summer, stormy day here in upstate New York. I'm recording at about 2:25 p.m. Eastern Time on the 4th. I've just gotten off a one-hour interview with somebody named Pam Popper, who you may recognize from her abundant YouTube videos. She's a naturopathic doctor working in Ohio, although she is also what I would describe as an activist and a movement builder who has been focused on what I would call the least popular theme of the entire COVID-19 coronavirus situation, that being civil liberties. One might think, we have such a serious health situation on our hands. Now is not the time to think about civil liberties. Now is the time to protect ourselves and protect everyone's health. And I would say that there is no better time to think about civil liberties. After all, it's not a tornado coming through town or the floodwaters rising. We are in a situation that should be a slow-moving situation, one that society also is supposed to be prepared for. I mean, after all, there's a reason that we work 2 days a week supporting the government. That's how much taxes are taken out of our paychecks, assuming that if you have a day job, it's one thing. And then if you have a gig economy job, it can be even worse because you're paying both the employer's and the employee's share. That's called the self-employment tax. And so with all of these taxes we're paying, the government should be able to handle what is in reality a relatively minor epidemic situation, you may think. How can you say that? Look at the news. Well, I do look at the news. In fact, it takes a village to look at the news around here at Planet Waves because we have a whole village of people who have committed themselves to the careful review of what appears not only on television and the internet, basically the major sites, but also many different minor websites, Centers for Disease Control, scientific websites, international websites, YouTube videos, podcasts. We're listening to lots and lots of stuff and getting a very wide panoramic view of what is going on. And as I've said many times, there has never been a more frightening gap between what is presented to us in the major media and what actually exists in reality on the ground. And so the reason that you think about civil liberties at a time like this is you could be witnessing something that is simply designed to take them away. And you might ask, well, why would someone want to take them away? Well, the truth is we haven't seen much else happening in our lifetimes, and certainly not since 9/11. I want to know what the World Trade Center coming down, however that may have happened, had to do with monitoring the phone calls of basically every citizen and military service member in the United States for years, and it may still be happening. 9/11 was used to merge the National Security Agency with this thing called the internet. And so where there is where there is a civil liberty to be had, you can be sure that here in the land of the free and the home of the brave, someone eventually is going to try to come after it. And one of the times and places that that happens the most frequently and the most dependably, impeccably dependably, is when there is some kind of a crisis. These crises tend to be used and exploited. And as you'll hear me say to Pam, it was impressive the way that we went from basically sing happy birthday twice while you're washing your hands so that you have clean hands and don't spread any viruses around by, you know, picking your nose or something like that, to the lockdown of society. Really, what was the equivalent of a kind of a quote-unquote voluntarily imposed by a lot of fear martial law? Was that really necessary? Did that really help? And yet look at what has been lost. Look at what people have given up. We have sacrificed one-third of the American economy to this situation. So the view that Pam is going to take is that this is not an accident. This is not the result of some kind of incompetence, but rather the result of a coordinated plan. She does not have all the answers, but she is pointing out things that I have been pointing out for a long time as well, and I think is drawing some, let's say, rational conclusions that are based on the available facts before us. I leave it to you to decide whether she has a valid point of view and whether you think it is your place to respond. Without delay, this is Pam Popper. I would like to welcome to Planet Waves FM Pam Popper, a naturopathic doctor, is that correct? Which is a special kind of doctor that many people have not heard about. It's kind of an integrative approach to medicine. But Pam is also kind of an activist and movement builder. I find to be a refreshing presence in the midst of this whole COVID discussion. First of all, welcome, Pam, and thank you for taking the time out of your day to join us.
Going on right now.
I agree. And it has become increasingly so, the civil rights issue, as I'm calling it, increasingly so as this whole crisis has gone on over the past 5 or 6 months. So what got my attention about your work, Pam, and what I would like to point out to my listeners is that you're focusing on something that is, first of all, seems to be an extremely unpopular issue. It is both a taboo and also, the taboo is kind of like, well, we can't really be talking about that now because there's so many important things. There's this health crisis. But the way that I have been saying this to my listeners is when I began discussing this in February, I said, okay, the planet has an immune system crisis, and now we've got this new insult added to the immune system, and people are on all kinds of drugs and eating all kinds of bad food, and this is not knowing anything about this virus in February. I don't like this combination of a viral insult into a pre-existing environment of immune depletion, gut biome depletion, terrible food, and so forth and so on. Therefore, we must guard our immune systems. As the crisis progressed, I began to shift my messaging to, we don't really have a health problem here. We have a political problem. That became abundantly clear.
Right.
And so you're a medical practitioner focusing on the political problem. Can you tell me a little bit about that interesting combination of factors that you've been emphasizing?
Well, yeah. Just to be clear, we own a company called Wellness Forum Health, and we practice a kind of medical journalism. That's actually how I got into this.
Oh.
In other words, people become members of Wellness Forum. We have them in 33 countries. And one of the reasons they do is we promote informed decision-making. In other words, whether you're getting treated for kidney stones or cancer, or you're thinking about taking a supplement or having a test or whatever it is, you know, it's a good idea to check things out before you do them, right? I mean, we do that in every other aspect of our life, and we should do it here.
Hopefully,
so our
yes.
job has always been, as we see it, to investigate anything and everything, including new things, to report to our people. So that's how this actually started. And people were, this was early March, you know, is there a reason to be concerned and all this sort of thing? And I looked at this, and there were a couple things I saw right away. One is, it's the flu, for crying out loud, and every year we have a flu season. And so what's going to be special about this? Well, then it became eerily reminiscent of 2009 and 10 when the CDC and WHO faked a flu pandemic. They faked it. They got caught, and nobody, of course, lost their job. Nobody ever gets in the kind of trouble that would dissuade this from happening again. You know,
can you digress and just fill us in on that for a moment?
Yeah, because it has a lot to do with this and how I really started digging into this. But in 2009 and 10, you might remember, it was the swine flu, H1N1. And we were told that tens of millions of people were going to die. And it was not quite as catastrophic as this, but it certainly sounded like it was going to be real bad. And it supposedly originated in Mexico, so we're going to test everybody who comes in from Mexico really push vaccines, got to get vaccinated, and the feds had bought, I think, 93 million doses of vaccine, which they were distributing to health centers. And someplace in the middle of this whole thing, the CDC issued a real interesting statement. They said, gosh, the ERs and the urgent care centers are so busy, stop testing. We don't have time for that. Just assume that anybody who shows up has H1N1, swine flu. So I thought at the time, this is a really strange situation, okay? And I predicted that the reason they did it is that there was no epidemic or pandemic, and so they had to, they were faking it, and they really couldn't afford to have the states collecting data. Well, CBS News, after the whole thing was over, which at the time actually had curious reporters, did an investigation. They used the Freedom of Information Act to get data from the individual states. And here's what they found out. There was no epidemic. There was no pandemic. There was nobody coming from Mexico who even tested positive for this. I mean, it was just a hoax. And they were doing it to scare people into getting the dreaded flu vaccine, which is the most useless and most harmful vaccine in our schedule. And people just don't want to get it. And so, there were a couple of slapped wrists, slaps on the hand for people at CDC. There were a couple of hearings in Europe, but Margaret Chan, the Director General of the World Health Organization, she's still really well-respected. Everybody thinks she's a rock star, even though she is essentially, this is like crying fire in a crowded theater. This is, if you and I did it, we'd be in prison right now. So this seemed awful much, a lot like that, just ginning up fear over nothing, because there certainly were not enough cases in China or any place else to justify this. And when they started with this, now somebody in Washington State has it, this is a catastrophe, a person in Washington State, and now we've got a catastrophe. So anyway, I put out a video in early March where I said, I think the Chinese have a lot of reasons to want to gin up a bunch of mess here. I don't think that there's anything going on in terms of a health threat at all. So anyway, the response to that was, as you might imagine, oh my gosh, I got like 3,000 emails a day for a while, 3,500 more are coming now. But the big change is that back then, 50% of people were screaming at me that I was a public threat to health and all this sort of thing, talking about this. People were going to die, and didn't I understand? And today, we are getting, 3,000 to 5,000 emails and phone calls a day, and maybe one or two people, not 1 or 2%, I'm talking one or two people a day or a week are saying terrible things to me. So it really has shifted as I think a bigger portion of the population has caught on to what you and I have known for a long time, that this really isn't a threat. This is, our country's been overthrown. Our government has been overthrown and taken over by criminal despots, and we have to get our country back. This is not a whole lot unlike when we fought the war for our independence from England. It is every bit as serious.
So I don't think that's an overstatement.
No, it's not. It's not. And if we don't do something about it, if you think about what, I know what's coming next, and what the objective of all this was, it was very well planned and orchestrated. Now, it's not all going well for them.
No, it's not. That's the good part.
Things have not worked out as entirely as planned. But having said that, this is going to be no small task to undo this. Now, we have some plans for undoing it, and we know that they'll work, because they've worked for hundreds of years. But having said that, the severity of the situation is just not to be discounted. And one of the things that I have been focusing on, and I think we don't spend enough time on it, yes, our civil liberties have been completely taken away with breathtaking speed.
Surrendered.
But what people don't really focus on is the collateral damage. In other words, 11 million people got slaughtered in the Holocaust, and we're going to have a death count much higher, not from COVID, I'm talking about nursing home patients who haven't been out of their bed or their room for 5 months now. Mm-hmm. I want everybody that's listening to this to think about a 90-year-old person who you know, who has had no human contact except somebody dropping a food tray in your lap three times a day for 5 months. And ask yourself, do you think that that's an appropriate way to treat a human? And the older family members in your family who are either older now or have passed, what do you think would have happened to them if they had been subjected to that kind of treatment? I mean, it's not a whole, you're killing them slowly. You don't take them out and shoot them in a ditch. That's what the Nazis did. We're just killing them slowly. And how anybody can listen to all this and think, well, that's okay. I don't understand that at all.
Well, it's all in the name of protecting something. It's all in the name of
protecting the criminals who have taken charge of our government. That's who they're protecting, and they're co-conspirators. Let's just call it what it is. If you're one of these mask-wearing freaks walking around snapping pictures of people who don't wear masks and turning people in, and buying this whole nonsense story that any educated person who thinks could not possibly buy. I mean, you know, we had yesterday, our emperor sent people knocking on doors, and they came up with 900 cases of the flu in a population or diagnoses. We're using the fake test. We can talk about that. They come up with 900 positive tests, and they have to knock on doors testing asymptomatic people in order to get that. And this little nitwit stands up and says, we might have to lock everything down again. Who listens to that and thinks that that's a good idea? What kind of mental deficiency does it take? And I mean that.
Desperation.
I'm done with trying to put it nicely. There is no way to put this nicely. What kind of mental deficiency causes somebody to think that 900 positive tests obtained by knocking on doors, all right, is a reason to put people out of business and take their kids out of school and the other things that we talk about in situations like that?
Well, desperation is the mental debility. Desperation and then being overwhelmed by horseshit coming across television and Twitter feeds by panic. This is the result of people responding to their own fear, which is being force-fed to them and keeping them in this compromised, basically fight-or-flight cortisol state where they're being told that they're wearing, for example, I don't even call them masks. They're not masks. They're schmatas. To protect others, which is the most codependent thing I've ever heard.
Well, it doesn't even work. I mean, you know, you'd think that if somebody's requiring you to do something like this, you might even look it up and see what they have to say about it. No, these sheep are so stupid that they'll put. I'm telling you, if our emperor got up and said, "Listen, we've figured out that if people stand on their head and sing Christmas carols at lunchtime, this COVID thing doesn't spread." You'd have some of these nitwits standing on their head and singing Christmas carols. We know exactly who the sheep are. They take off the mask and sing Christmas carols standing on their head. And it goes from, it's nonsense. It's utter nonsense. And really the type of person who listens to the television set and forms their opinions based on that is a scary kind of person, you know? And maybe this is just what it took, what it's going to take. I think that when this all shakes out, I'll make a prediction. We will know, everybody will know that this was a hoax. When this shakes out, we intend to put an enormous amount of pressure on criminal prosecution for some of the people involved in it. And I think in some cases it's been so egregious what these people have done that there will be criminal prosecution, just like the Nazis were criminally prosecuted, as were many of their co-conspirators. Now, we can't, you know, sweep up all the mask-wearing cowards who are in the basement, not caring much, with their income secure, I might add, not caring much what happens to the rest of the country. We can't do much to go after them, but they will get the pleasure of living with for the rest of their lives what they did. They'll know what they did. And I call them the Sing Louder crowd, and one of the reasons I call them that is during World War II, there was a couple, I listened to the tape of them talking when I was in the Holocaust Museum when I was visiting there last summer, the couple that reported going to church on Sunday, and there was a train tracks behind the church where they were taking the Jews to the camps, and they could hear them screaming, so their answer to that was, we'll just sing louder and drown it out. So I call these people, the masked co-conspirators, I call them the Sing Louder crowd. Yeah, you watch the television set, you buy this ridiculous story that makes no sense. sense to anybody who's actually thinking, and support it, and you just keep singing louder. Hear about the nursing home patients dying, the kids. I think that right here in Ohio, this is really says it all right? A little girl, 7 years old, dying in Children's Hospital of a brain tumor, and our emperor, our ruler, because he's not an elected official at this point in
time. The governor, but...
He's now, we call him the emperor. And everybody's picked up on my language. They all talk about I'm under the rule of the Empress Whitmer, the Emperor Newsom, whatever. But our emperor decreed that only one parent can be with a child during a 24-hour period of time. And I want to know what kind of criminal despot who hates humanity so much that he's willing to say that two parents can't be together with their dying 7-year-old. What kind of person? This isn't even a human we're talking about who would do something like that. And these parents actually tried to contact his office to ask for some kind of special dispensation. Our daughter is dying in the hospital. He didn't even bother to respond.
Well, The thing is, there's no data to support this. And my problem is that there's no data to support almost anything that they're doing, like, for example, close a boutique but leave Walmart open. That does not make sense. But there's
none of it makes sense.
Here's one thing, one slight difference in our approach. I think we agree on all the issues. And I'm so happy to hear you talk about the flu shot being the least effective and the most dangerous. So I'm more on the spiritual side of the thing where I have to at least seek to understand people's fears. So I had someone comment on my Facebook page yesterday, a couple of days ago, that I was annoyed at first. I know this person well. I've known her for many years. And she was objecting to my position and also that of Beta Statler, who was explaining the immunology, that this is not a novel virus. This is a virus with considerable lateral immunity. If it even exists as a virus, I'm not convinced, but let's say that it is. It's a coronavirus. Mm-hmm. There's lateral immunity. There's T-cell immunity. We can handle this. She writes, accusing me of claiming this is a hoax, which I haven't claimed, they do not close down cities around the world, hospitals filled up, etc., because humans are just monkey brains, as Dr. Statler said, who bought into the fear. It's called a pandemic for a reason. I'm sure there are even more dangerous viruses, but this one is leaving long-term damage even to the young and the healthy, close quote.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a person who can construct sentences. I mean, she's, mm-hmm. you know, she's read my work for years, and she's saying, no, fear can't do this. And I would say, yes, fear is the thing that's doing this. Fear is the instrument of manipulation. Fear of death, fear of sickness.
Well, I think that to a certain extent, you know, one of the things that I've encouraged people to do is I think that the thinking people of the world are in agreement on the big issue, which is that it's a hoax, and our freedom has been taken away. The collateral damage is so significant that I don't know any thinking person who can ignore it at this point in time. We all know somebody who's been affected by this in some meaningful way, like the little girl in the hospital, and that we must unite as a people in order to take our country back, because if we don't, we're going to live like the way they live in Cuba and China, communist China, North Korea. This is a despotic regime that has taken control of our lives. Now, whether you want to call the response fear or you want to call it anything, I think people have different perceptions. I think there are people afraid. I think there are people who are incredibly angry. I think there are people who are dead, not from COVID, but from other collateral damage. I think there's a lot going on. But I think we have to find our common ground, the people who are thinking, and really not worry so much about the semantics and be focused on the issue at hand. And the issue at hand is this. There's an end game here. If anybody thinks that the people who did this orchestrated it just because they wanted to see what kind of fun it would be, that's not why this was done. This was done in an attempt to really take down the walls between countries. I want to live in the United States. If I wanted to live in Korea, I would move there, but I want to live in the United States. And most of us chose that and continue to choose it, right, to be here. It was done in order to force vaccinate people. And this is not a conspiracy theory. Mr. Gates gets on television, and he actually said in a CNN interview that he wouldn't see us being able to go back to normal until 7 billion people on the planet had a vaccine. And I'm wondering, who made this guy in charge of 7 billion people's lives? But
and
that's what
immunity,
happened.
Immunity certificate. Yes, it's a business plan.
Right, immunity passports, and you're going to be able to, cops with smartphones will walk around and know if it's okay for you to be outside, and we're not going to use cash, and you'll use your debit or credit card so that the government can track every place you go. And if you do anything the government doesn't like, they can freeze your funds. And you've got a thing downloaded. They already loaded it without our permission, the COVID-19 thing. They can activate that any time and take your temperature every day just because you're carrying your phone around. And if you seem like you're at risk, they can haul you off into a camp. And by the way, I'm in possession of the operations manual for one of these camps. If you're diagnosed in the state of Wisconsin and you live with other people, then you have 6 hours to report to the isolation facility. And it's just like a prison. There is a list of things you're allowed to bring in. You can't have any visitors. If your family members drop off something for you, it's inspected by your jailers. And this is a communist despotic regime. Okay?
Are these being used now? Are these isolation centers are they active now?
Apparently. This one, I don't know about the one in Wisconsin, but the governor of Arkansas quickly walked it back when it was publicized that the National Guard was taking people to an isolation facility. He said, oh, no, not yet. But not yet doesn't sound like they're not going to use it, right? There's a couple in Kentucky that were wearing an ankle bracelet for 2 weeks. She refused to isolate, asymptomatic, test positive. And the tests are not designed to be used for this purpose, by the way, a lot of the tests that they're using. But anyway, five vehicles with eight people wearing hazmat suits, including law enforcement, showed up at her house and put an ankle bracelet on her and her husband. If they move 200 feet away from the house, the law enforcement will come put them in jail.
But we've confirmed this story, by the way. I put this through my fact-checking team. We confirm this. This is not a made-up story.
No.
And they claim that she said she voluntarily took a test. She was going to visit her parents. She tested positive. They wanted her to sign something saying that she would not leave for 2 weeks. She did not like the language in the contract. She refused to sign it. They said she refused to isolate. They lied to the judge and said
right.
She refused to isolate. She did not have it should require an injunction. She should be ordered to show cause. No, it was an ex parte hearing, and she did not get to appear, and they showed up and put her in an ankle bracelet. Now, you might think, isolated incident. No, you don't think about it as an isolated incident.
They locked down a whole apartment building in Ventura, California. They deactivated the keys. You couldn't get in, you couldn't get out. They're starting to do that, too. They're doing it in Australia. Australia just instituted an 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. curfew. Not allowed to leave your house.
Right. Now,
and they're going to do that here, too.
Let's talk about the hoax aspect of this. That's the word that makes sensitive people the most angry. I have not used that word yet, but I have presented to my readers and my listeners all of the elements that they need to see it. So could you talk a little bit about why and how you've come to the conclusion that this is not essentially a false flag event, I think, is what you mean by hoax, right?
Well, you can term it anything you want, but just look at the data. I mean, in what universe is this okay? So the CDC's new definition. You can watch up there. You can watch this online. Okay, you can watch them do a slide set on it. So let's say I have dinner with you tonight, and tomorrow the state people come out because it's the state despots that come out, knock on your door and say, we're going to random test you. We have armies of people doing that in Ohio, by the way, knocking on doors, testing people randomly. They don't know they can say no. That's kind of sad, too. But in any case, so somebody knocks on your door and you're stupid enough to let them have the test and you test positive and they start asking you who you've been with and then you tell them me, had dinner with me, and I become a case without even a phone call. I'm a case now. And then if they can reach me and I'm stupid enough to cough up the names of people I was with, so I had lunch with somebody yesterday, well, then that person becomes a case. Without any testing, this is just all done by phone. Now we've taken one fake test case and we've turned it into three.
Yep.
Now, in what universe is that okay? And then in some states, they're doing this to lock people down. You lose your privileges with this nonsense.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, the other thing is that they use this term called probable cases and confirmed cases. So you've got probable and confirmed cases and probable and confirmed deaths. And every state's reporting it in some different way. They've got states that report only probable and confirmed together. Sometimes they separate it. CDC takes this whole mess of differently calculated data and lists the number of cases and deaths on the website. You can't make head or tail of it. And by the way, you can go back and watch Deborah Birx, one of the criminals in charge, telling the entire country in a press briefing at the White House that if a person dies with COVID, you consider it a COVID death.
Yes.
And they've challenged her on this. So this means that if a person's in a car accident and they die from the trauma, but post-mortem they test positive for COVID, we're going to code that as a COVID death. That's right. So they've ginned up with the fake tests and the fake data. They've ginned up, a couple million cases, and they've ginned up 150,000 deaths. We think the death rate is actually about only 10% of what they say it is from COVID, actual
yes.
COVID. And it's going to be fun when this is over to dig into places like New York, where they put people on a ventilator when they arrived at the hospital.
And killed
now,
them.
I'm a lowly naturopath.
And killed them.
Yeah. Killed them. All right. I'm a lowly naturopath, but I understand that you use ventilators as the last resort, not the thing that you do when they first show up, for crying out loud. So if you take out the people they killed, who might have legitimately had COVID, but they killed, and if you take out the people who never had COVID in the first place and the people who got hit by a bus, I mean, there was a motorcycle accident in Florida. Every time you draw publicity to these cases, then they hurry up and change them. And so then they'll hurry up and change a bunch of other numbers because they're afraid, that somebody will start looking into some of the other deaths. And I remember that the Emperor Inslee, this is a real mature guy. The first time somebody confronted him about the fake deaths, he said, "That's nothing but a conspiracy plot from the planet of Pluto." Well, there's a real mature response. But as it turned out, it wasn't a conspiracy plot from the planet of Pluto. His health department actually was fabricating numbers,
yep.
and by about 50%. So and when lawsuits happen and attention gets drawn to this, all these states frantically adjust their numbers. Same thing happened in Colorado. A state representative was contacted by a bunch of several citizens who said that they got letters from nursing homes saying, "We're notifying you that the death certificate for your grandma or whoever it is that died, the person didn't die of COVID, but the nursing home physician changed it to COVID. We just think you ought to know." Well, people were screaming like mashed cats, and so the one of the state representatives in the state of Colorado tried to refer the health department director for criminal prosecution, and then all of a sudden all the numbers changed. So what kind of scientific, if I hear one of these nitwits say one more time, we're following the science, tell me what kind of science this is. Show me where in the epidemiology textbooks they say, count the deaths however you want until somebody questions you, and then hurry up and adjust them so that they are unable to actually show that you jimmied up the numbers. I mean,
yeah.
What kind of science is that? I'm not familiar with
political,
it.
It's called political science. It's political
mm-hmm.
science.
Yeah, it's called political science. It's a great term for it.
And
really.
We've seen this in many other cases, industrial biotest labs, the whole dioxin scandal, how much dioxin is dangerous. I come from the chemical industry as a reporter, and so I'm familiar with this abuse of the scientific motif, let's say the lab coat and the test tube, the nasal, mm-hmm. right? And you make it look scientific and then it seems scientific, and people have a tendency to want to trust the experts, which I think goes back to a relationship to their parents and in loco parentis, probably a little bit outside of our scope. Do you think that there is a SARS-CoV-2 virus? Is there an actual...
I don't know.
All right.
I mean, and it's an interesting question, and I think at some point in time we're going to want to sort it out. But I think that whatever it is, and people have a lot of different theories about it,
mm-hmm.
I think, again, we've got to stay focused on the matter at hand. Whatever it is, it has been used as a means of gaining control, overthrowing our government and gaining control over the lives of 330 million people who are headed down the path of being chipped and tattooed and monitored by Mr. Gates and his friends for the rest of our natural lives.
Yeah.
That's the thing that we have to focus on,
I am
really.
Deeply, deeply troubled by this.
Good.
And I watched, I'm in New York, I'm in upstate New York, where we've allegedly only had 49 deaths and we have like two new quote-unquote cases a day. And, much of the country went down at the same time, where we went from wash your hands twice while singing happy birthday. Remember that? Remember those days when the thing was the Vietnamese video with the two cute boys washing their hands and you should sing happy birthday twice to martial law lockdown in 3 weeks? In 3 weeks. That scared the shit out of me because there was obviously no science behind it. There was obviously no actual data to support this. And what was the most upsetting to me was how quickly people surrendered their rights without saying anything because they were told it was going to save lives. Why didn't we have, we would have banned cigarettes and carcinogens and trans fats by now if we wanted to save lives, save a lot of lives.
Well, and it begs the question, what happens if somebody decides that driving is a public health threat and says, well, nobody's going to be able to drive till we figure out how to make sure nobody ever dies in a car accident.
We didn't do that. Drunk driving, people drive drunk all the time. I drive in my vehicle. I go out on the highways knowing that there's drunk drivers. I voluntarily take that risk.
Right, and with that choice has been taken away from us, and so, you know, we have some serious work to do in a very limited amount of time to accomplish it, because we're probably about 120 days away from living in a place that would more resemble a communist country or a despotic regime like North Korea than at this point in time is wealthier, but soon won't be. Within about 120 days if we don't turn it around.
Yep. So tell me about that and tell me what it is you think we need to do.
Well, I think that there are a lot of things we need to do. I think the first thing is I get a lot of emails from people who they want us to sign petitions and all this kind of stuff, and I want to be supportive of people, but the bottom line is that none of that makes any difference. People have been signing petitions on this vaccine issue for 25 years, and every year it gets worse, not better. So let's stop wasting our time on things that don't work and start focusing on things that do work. So we started an organization called Make Americans Free Again, makeamericansfreeagain.com. And the idea is to unite around a single issue, because it's a good issue to sort politicians by. And basically it says that I, Pam Popper, and this is my issue, I want the right to decide whether or not to get a vaccine, any vaccine, and by extension, I want the right to make that decision about my minor children. Now, that's very crystal clear. I don't know very many people who wouldn't understand my intent there. So if you're a yes on that question, you join us, and if you're a no, you don't. And it has to be simple. And then the idea is you get tens of millions of people enrolled in this, and then we start looking at districts, because these mandates really are at the state level. We've done a fair amount of legal investigation, and the likelihood, at least with this president, that we're going to be mandated at the federal level to get a vaccine is probably non-existent. Mm-hmm. So it's at the state level where this kind of thing happens. And so your discussion with the legislator isn't any more about science or evidence or reasoning with these people. They could care less about science or reason or evidence. It's really simple. You sit down. I'm looking forward to the day I can do it with my own useless senator and say, you know, Stephanie, you haven't done a darn thing for me since you've been there. And so here's what we have, a new kind of program now. Let me introduce you to it. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to tell you what I want. I'm going to repeat that thing I just said. And I'm going to ask you if you're a yes or no on this issue. I'm going to tape your response. And if you refuse to answer, we'll assume you're a no. And before I ask, I'm just going to kind of give you some factual information I think you might be interested in. You won your election by 2,311 votes last time, and we have 7,000 people in your district. So now, let's see what you think about this. That's what they understand.
This is the central issue. I agree 100% that the central issue is mandatory vaccination. This goes back to the Nuremberg principles of no forced medical experimentation, and this is a medical experiment. And this is the very question that, without your guidance, previously I have been putting people to when they tell me how many millions of lives the polio vaccine saved and blah, blah, blah. But do you think that you should have a choice to opt out of the vaccine? And everyone says, yeah, everyone said, when I put it to them, they say yes.
Right. And by the way, this is the type of issue that kind of sorts for some other things, too, because this particular senator that I'm talking about voted no on a bill to rein in the health director and the governor's, the emperor's actions and this sort of thing. So it's a pretty decent issue. If somebody's for that freedom, they're generally for other freedoms too. But we have to keep this very simple.
Yes.
And when I have conversations with people, they'll say, well, you know, we really ought to have a copywriter come in and think about the language. I tell them, you know what, while you're doing all this nonsense and you're signing petitions and all this kind of stuff, I mean, this is busy work, and Gates and his friends, they are laughing
while doing this. Yeah.
Because these people are razor sharp and focused on what they want. Look what they managed to get done in 120 days.
Three weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, really, the whole takeover has taken a little bit of time. And so think about when you're thinking about you want to wordsmith the slogan, and you want all this crap that people spend time on. Well, you know, we have a group of people with 9 million emails and phone number or emails and names. Great, can you sort them by legislative district? Because if you can't, well, this isn't really very meaningful, because unless you can get down to that state level where you're going to threaten these people, you have absolutely no leverage. And protests, I'm all for protesting, but the kind of protests that they need is what happened in Berlin over the weekend. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
1.3 million people converged on Berlin. It was unbelievable. I mean, it really, none of them wearing masks, almost none of them wearing masks, and they just overwhelmed the entire city, and we need to have that happen in every major city in the United States. I mean, when 1,000 well-meaning people show up in downtown Columbus, I support that. I think it's wonderful, but do you think that this little emperor who's making up data every day and got people knocking on doors to drum up his cases because he wants to continue being in control, do you think he cares about 1,000 people?
No.
I'll tell you what he'd care about is if 20,000 people were standing in his front yard. That's what he cares about.
Yeah.
That would be scary, particularly if some of them were, you know, bringing guns. I'm all for that now, too. I used to say guns have no place in a protest. I've really started having a great deal of affection for guns. Not using them, but I just think they send a great message when you're standing outside the governor's mansion, 20,000 people strong, with a lot of them with arms. I think that the governor would probably pay attention to that. He might even come to the window and look at it. Not interested in a kid in the hospital dying and her parents, but he would be very interested in 20,000 people in his front yard. I think.
Yeah. I'm Quaker. The gun thing is a religious matter for me. I wish it didn't have to come to that. And I wish the people who were Second Amendment advocates who have been so concerned about takeover, violent takeover by the government, would be more concerned about the unmarked federal police and unmarked vehicles in places like Portland.
I think we all are. I think the thing that people are, the reason people get unhinged about the Second Amendment is that if you look at every despot in history, Hitler, Stalin, the really good ones, the ones who really succeeded in taking over and killing a lot of people,
yes,
the first thing they do is they disarm the population. So what really we need to do is we need to say, listen, you're Quaker and you don't really want to own a gun, and I respect that. But thank God every day some people do want to own a gun, because when they take our guns away, if you think that what they've done right now is significant, you wait and see what they will do if they're successful in disarming the population. We will all flee to go to China, because as bad as it is there, it ain't going to be anything like it's going to be here.
The other thing that despots do is they wage an anti-sex and purity campaign. This was documented by Wilhelm Reich, explaining how exactly they got the German people to comply with tyranny. And what I'm noticing, what my reporting team is noticing, more and more issues going by where they are turning COVID into an anti-sex campaign. Ireland this week, the health authorities in Ireland telling people to not have sex in person, to have online sex and phone sex. British Columbia.
We all know what a good idea that is, right?
Well, yeah, it's good for your immune system and everything. British Columbia and the New York City Health Department telling people to fuck through a wall, a glory hole. The term was used. British Columbia had to walk it back and say, well, don't use gypsum. It contains asbestos. The study saying you should wear a mask when you're having sex with the person you're isolating with. Huh? England banning overnight, England banning one-on-one overnight guests. Sex is one of my issues that I've been studying basically my entire life. And when I see that infiltration into the most private space, that is a warning.
This is all a warning. We're talking about people who have taken over our lives. And by the way, what despots do, if you take a look at what the communists did in Russia, it's an interesting study because they came. It's arbitrary rules, and the rules change all the time.
Yes.
Wear masks, don't wear masks, take, you know, all this kind of stuff. And so, today you're not allowed to take picture of bridges. Why is that? Well, because we just can't. Well, that's only today. Tomorrow there's something else you can't take a picture of. You keep the population incredibly destabilized. And that's what allows you to continue to terrorize everybody.
Well, yeah.
And again, they count on stupid people who go along and stupid people who believe the story that they make up, because the story is never plausible. I mean, if you go back and you look at what, as soon as Hitler came into power, if any reasonable person who was watching what he was saying would have been terrified at what he was saying. But you had a lot of people in Germany who said, oh, he seems like such a nice man. He's going to fix our economy. Well, yeah, he sure did, didn't he?
Yeah. They did other things, and they did other things in Germany. For example, I'm familiar with the story of the Ilversgehofen neighborhood outside of Erfurt, where they put the first camp, a kind of makeshift camp, in a lot behind a movie theater in a neighborhood with seven, eight floor apartment blocks, walk-up blocks. And they put the torture yard right in the middle of the neighborhood. That, I thought, gee, that was awfully clever. And people's response was they bought extra pillows to bury their head.
Yeah, sing louder.
And I've seen this, sing louder. And I've personally set my feet on this ground and seen the memorials that are there. This is a real thing, the Ilversgehofen neighborhood. I will include my coverage of it with this program so you can see how, in some ways, the way to act is extremely bold. Now, the thing about the thing about people feeling like their rights were taken, I think most people feel that they have given their rights to a larger cause, and they don't want to think of it as rights. They don't want to think of the ability to go to sit down for a slice of pizza as a right. But the sense, the feeling I have is that most people think, well, I'm doing this for the greater good. I'm going
to wait till they take away your right to have money. Wait till they take away your right to own your home. Wait till they take your baby away.
Well,
wait till they decide that your ultrasound shows a Down syndrome baby and we're not going to let you carry it to term.
Yeah.
You see, what people don't understand is if they can take this right away, you can't go get pizza tonight. They can take any right away.
Yes, especially the right to do the most basic business, the most basic commerce in a capitalist society, in a commerce-based society. I think that the right to walk down the street and shop and or go to the farmer's market in freedom is right up there with the most important rights that we have, the right to move around.
Well, and I've said for years, for everybody who would like to live in a communist regime, there are plenty of them around the world.
You can always defect.
Yeah, and I don't notice this big rush for any of these people to go defect to any of these places. But
there's a misunderstanding of what that is, and I think even during supposedly good times, when I was working on different civil rights issues, there was not really an understanding of what civil rights actually are and what this concept means. So the part of the debility that we have is an illiteracy about these things. It's only become worse on the internet. We are now, there's not the information superhighway, but really the information anarchistic pileup. Where the notion that something is or isn't true is a thing that's even being suspended.
Mm-hmm. I like Tom Woods calls it, welcome to another week of fact-free hysteria. Nobody's checking the facts. People who are checking the facts are people like you and I having this conversation, and the other ones are just accepting anything that they're told. And they've been doing it for a long time. I mean, I'm writing a book right now called COVID Operation. It will be out sometime in September. And basically, there were four things that had to be in place in order for this to happen. And the despots who planned it knew about this. You first of all had to have a segment of the population that was stupid enough to buy a story that was completely implausible. Okay.
The bat gives a pangolin a thing at a virus, and then suddenly there's an outbreak through the entire world.
Oh yeah, and with people are writing and saying, I think there have been 32 deaths in one part of Australia that has 15 million people or whatever, and we've got to lock everything down. I mean, again, you've got to. you have to have, there's a mental problem with somebody who believes this. So you got to have a segment of the population that's big enough and stupid enough to buy this story, right? And then the second thing you have to have is a government that has really been accustomed for a long time to overreach, and a population that's been accepting it, letting it happen.
Yes.
You also have to have an education system that spits out the stupid people. I mean, we're talking about generations of people who have been dumbed down by public education. And then the fourth thing you have to have is a medical system that is so incompetent that you can convince a significant percentage of the doctors and healthcare professionals to go along with a completely implausible story, too. Now, the problem they're having, I want to talk about something positive just for a minute, because
Please.
You can listen to all of this and just think that, you know, why get up in the morning tomorrow? The best laid plans, you've heard, and
yes.
Let me tell you what's not going so well for them. The first thing is that they did not anticipate that 10 countries would not cooperate. Okay, so you've got 10 countries like Sweden and Iceland and Japan that have spectacular numbers. They never lock down. And so if you look at what the press says about Sweden, oh, they regret so much. But I hear from people every day that say, you know, I did what you said. I went to look at the actual Sweden website, not what, you know, CNN says about Sweden, but what Sweden says about Sweden. And, you're right, the schools are open. There's been no economic damage to speak of. And of course, they're reviewing what happened to see if they can do better next time. But life is pretty sweet in Sweden right now, right? So they didn't count on that, because that's definitely a fly in the ointment, because even some stupid people might check it out and find out what's going on. The second thing is that they overplayed their hand on the testing, big time, all right? Because the tests are fake, and when they ginned up the testing, they never in a million years dreamed that they would have all these people getting positive test results back who never showed up for the test. They never dreamed that the mistakes that could be made, that I think it was a bunch of labs in one day that reported all 100% positive
Florida,
test results.
Florida,
yeah. They never answered. That was a big screw-up, right? That was a big problem. Had the president been different, the lockdown would have lasted for 17 months, and you would have had control of the population, but that didn't happen. No national lockdown. So the natives have gotten restless off schedule, because we were supposed to be locked down just grateful for food for 17 months. And then if you rely on public education to keep people stupid, creating an environment that makes half the population not want to send their kids to school, well, that's kind of not on the plan. And then, best of all, if your whole deal is you want to vaccinate the heck out of everybody, the states that have vaccine mandates, well, it doesn't mean anything if the kids don't go to school. So we've been seeing in our local newspaper here, which I can't even stand to read anymore, but every once in a while I'll read it, and you'll see these apoplectic emails or letters to the editor from pediatricians saying, you know, now it's really time to get back to normal pediatrician visits, and the vaccine uptake was down to 88% before this. It was down to 74% a couple months ago. You're going to see it drop down to less than half. That's my prediction. And so that certainly wasn't supposed to happen, right? And then they never anticipated the number of doctors who would be upset about the hydroxychloroquine deal and start making a scene about that. And so America's Frontline Doctors last week, one of them was a colleague of mine, a very, very brave person who went and was there. This kind of stuff is just not part of what's supposed to happen. Now, they're still winning. Don't make any mistake what I'm saying. They still have the upper hand, but it just isn't all rosy for them.
Mm-hmm. Good. And the United States is 50 countries, and there's many countries within those countries. And I think ultimately, though I think Americans tend to be a little bit lazy in their thinking and so forth, that generally they're, to their benefit, a bit anarchistic.
Mm-hmm.
That they're not really interested in being ruled. They just want to do their damn thing. They want to cut wood or whatever the heck it is, have their job, fix cars, whatever it is. And for many Americans, that's their idea of a good life.
Yeah.
They want to do their thing, have a wife or girlfriend or family, whatever, boyfriend, and leave me the fuck alone.
Right. Well, and I think part of what's happened too is that they say they're going to lock down again. Where September 29th is supposed to be the next six week lockdown. I don't think they'll succeed. I think people will just say, "I'm not doing it," you know, because by then the discontent will swell up even more. So I think in the epilogue to my book, I actually propose the idea, because by the time the book's printed and out for a while, who knows what'll have happened by then. But I propose the idea that this really is happening because so many people consented to it. And if one day you get 60, 70 million people who just walk out the door and say, "I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not wearing the mask. I'm opening up my business. I'm not sitting at the tables in my restaurant 6 feet apart." We don't have the capacity from a law enforcement standpoint, particularly since they did something else stupid on their part, which was disband the police. I mean, if your whole idea is you're going to use law enforcement to try and get your way, taking actions that make police officers want to quit or not care, because have you noticed how many sheriffs are standing up and saying, "Don't call me, I don't want anything to do with this crap," and the whole nine yards. So anyway, if 50 or 60 million people tomorrow just said, "I'm done with this, and I'm just going to go about my business now," they don't really have any ability to do anything about it, you know?
Yep.
So.
Yes. Two more points. I know I've taken a lot of your time. Two more points before we go. One is the phone as an instrument of tyranny.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we have to really get a grip on this and understand what this device is, and learn how to live without it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's either that, or we basically, as a unit, again, going back to my point, let's get 60, 70 million voters together, and then you organize things to make things your way. So 60 million people call. We all coordinate a day. And we call the cell phone carriers and say, "Take this thing off my phone, or I'm canceling my contract." Well, the whole problem, you're going to crash the system. 60 million people calling five cell phone carriers on the same morning, they can't even handle it.
No, they run on a thin margin, too. You have to remember that everything's on a thin margin right now.
Right.
And so AT&T can't afford to lose even 5% of its subscribers.
No, you can't. And somebody, the other thing too is at some point in time, capitalism is going to take over. And I'll tell you a couple things that there are going to be some good things come out of this. And one would be a cell phone carrier that says, "I'm not going to put any of this crap on your phone." We'd all change tomorrow, right?
A lot of people would. Yes, I've been encouraging people to not take part in that. Turn it off.
Well, here's another thing. One of the things everybody's learned. First of all, take care of yourself so you don't end up in a nursing home. But the second thing is, I think a lot of people are not going to put their loved ones in nursing homes anymore. They're going to get together, just like the homeschooling thing. People are getting together and forming these pods and the whole nine yards. So you get together four or five people in a community, and you buy a big house and you hire a couple of nurses. And that's where grandma is, and it's privately owned, and the next time something like this happens, the state can't do anything about it. So I've already heard from several people who I know in the nursing home industry that they've had so many deaths, and now because nobody in their right mind is putting anybody in these places, right? So if you have an older person with health issues, that's the last thing you're going to do. So people are going out because they're dying. Nobody new is coming in, so you simply have to eliminate staff. Well, all those people will be looking for jobs, so I have to believe that some enterprising company is going to start putting together some kind of group home for seniors that could be privately owned by the people whose family members are in it, and then your share could be sold.
Mm-hmm.
That could turn into a great industry,
mm-hmm.
right? So there's going to be some rearranging, and I'm always the ultimate optimist. I think that you have to take lemons and make lemonade, and I'm hoping we do that here, that we say this is a devastating, terrible thing that happened. Millions of people lost their lives who shouldn't have. The criminal despots took control of our government, and probably it'll be like going after the Nazis. I'll be in the ground, and they'll still be chasing after them, just like we still are finding Nazis amongst us today. So all that will get sorted out, and then we might look back and say, you know what, public education was due for an overhaul. The medical system needed to collapse. Nursing homes are no place to warehouse your family members. And so some good things will come out of this.
The music business needed to collapse. A lot of elitism is falling through the floor, I'm finding.
Yeah, they're doing what everybody does. My dad used to have a great saying when I was a kid. He would talk about, because you get, when we were kids, you know how you get mad at your friends and all this kind of stuff. And my father's favorite line was, if you leave most people alone long enough, they'll just screw themselves right into the ground. You don't have to do anything. Stand back and watch. And to a certain extent, that's what we're going to see happen here. I don't think they're going to get away with it. And I think that they, and this goes back to, you know, you're going to be happy people own guns, because if we ever really did get to the point where they were going to start jabbing you on the front porch of your house with the tattoo and the vaccine, you would see the citizen militias mobilizing, and they'd overthrow. I think they would overthrow the government. I think, and I, you know what? I'd be cheering them on, because at that point in time, we need to overthrow the government at that point.
We actually do need to overthrow the government, and this is perfect evidence of it. And I'm, one thing that I find helpful here is that there are people on the left and the right who are giving up that paradigm and realizing we really just need to handle this as citizens and not construe this as a political issue. One thing that's been done fairly successfully is, to a point, is that anyone who asks a question is being accused of being a Trump supporter. And that's a ridiculous assertion. This is not a left-right issue. And I think that everyone needs to give the Bill of Rights a good read. They have no right to take a body sample, much less sample your entire genome, to go on your property, to knock on your door, to insert things onto your telephone, which is your property, to genetically modify your entire system, which is what one of these vaccines does. And additionally, they have an obligation, though they don't follow it, to make sure that these quote-unquote vaccines are safe. And out of this one of my specializations as a journalist has become the issue of cell line contamination in research and development and production cell cultures. And in the person of a man named Christopher Korch, I found out not only are these cell lines contaminated, the scientists often don't even know what cell line they're actually working on with their multimillion-dollar grant, where they think that they're doing lung research and they're working on cervical cancer cells, which is absolutely absurd. You don't even need to be anti-vaccine. Just tell me what's in the damn thing.
Right, right, exactly.
Does anyone think it's okay to inject people with simian virus 40? This is the question I've been putting to people. You can be all for the polio vaccine and believe anything you want about it, but do you think it's all right to inject people with an oncogenic monkey virus that causes cancer more dependably than anything known on Earth and that defeats all four of the body's anti-cancer systems against their will? They injected half of the American population by 1963 with simian virus 40.
Right. Well, I think that's again where we can find common ground. And I think that when some of the hysteria is over, the hysteria will be solved by thinking people. Mm-hmm. When the hysteria is over is when the rest of some of the sheeples are going to start coming around and thinking about this in a different way. And it's interesting because some of the people who I've observed in my own sphere, who have bought this whole story hook, line, and sinker, they're anti-forced vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
They are always screaming about the government doing things that shouldn't be doing, and then all of a sudden they just became mesmerized by this stupid story.
Yes.
And but I think they will come out of that state of trance and start to think about what really happened, and it will be much like, you know, take a look at, in World War II, we had the Japanese camps here, you had the death camps in Europe, and other than a few lunatic fringe who still are with us today. I get some interesting emails from people who think that, you know, Auschwitz was a movie set, but other than some lunatic fringe, essentially nobody supports what happened, right? Everybody has seen the light. That was a bad idea. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is what's going to shake out in the end, and people will come together because we're going to have to rebuild our country. Our country has been decimated by this, economically and otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to rebuild a better country out of it. That's the only thing you can do is at the end of the day, say we're going to build it and we're going to build it better. And some people, like me, who have been fortunate to have not been, I've been impacted by friends and family and all kinds of things, and, you know, our own membership, which is stressed to the max, and that kind of thing. But all in all, I'm coming out of this in a pretty charmed condition. We're going to have to pick up the pieces. We're going to have to take responsibility for helping those who have been devastated. And I'm looking forward to a time when we can start that process. We're still bottoming out, but we're going to bottom out, and then it's going to be time to rebuild. And you know, let's just hope we end up in a better place.
Well,
right?
I think the process is learning how to trust people and learning how to not be afraid and learning how to not be ruled by fear. The prerequisite for all of this rebuilding and restructuring and rethinking is that we learn how to calm down and to work with one another in a trusting way, not peace and love. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about learning how to trust people for the purposes we need one another to serve in one another's lives.
Exactly. Exactly. So we'll look forward to better times. You and I will do an interview sometime in the future that will be a retrospective looking back. Mm-hmm. And I'll look forward to that time when we can start to put things back together again. I have a great, great faith in America. I have a great faith in Americans. And I have this idea in my mind that the world has been through so many horrific situations. I mean, just think about our history. And somehow, humans keep marching on. Humans overcome horrific circumstances, and mm-hmm. we will overcome this.
Let my people go. One last thought. Since you're a medical professional, even though naturopathy does not get the love that it deserves, let's talk. Can you debunk the polymerase chain reaction test for us, please? Every time I set my pen to paper or open my mouth in front of this microphone, I do so. But I want to hear another person take a shot.
Well, I think the best thing that can be said of it is that the person who invented it and won a Nobel Prize, for
Carrie Mullis,
said, "This is not to be used for diagnostics. It's a lab tool." And so it's an inappropriate use of a test. And by the way, the problem with the whole testing, it was botched from the beginning. I've written quite a bit about this. We wrote about it in our book. It was botched from the beginning. All of these tests were approved under emergency authorization. All you had to do was show that 60 test tube tests were right. And, I mean, absolutely no oversight whatsoever. You've got 110 companies, something like that, making these tests. And so very sloppy from the get-go, and all of them are unreliable. But the one that probably is the worst is the PCR test, because it was never supposed to be used for this. And but if you can just take a look at what's going on out there, again, how, if you have any knowledge of statistics, when all those labs in Florida reported 100% positive. And then did you hear, I don't know if you heard about what happened in Connecticut, but this was another episode that should have gotten more attention. So, testing everybody, it's just a testing craze, right? Of course, all the tests gin up the cases and that gins up the fear. But anyway, they test all these people in a nursing home and they are all positive and they all had symptoms. They're nursing home patients. So they take them all to the hospital. And of course, the hospital says, "Well, we got to test them here. We test everybody coming in." Of course, they're getting reimbursed for all this, right? There's an economic incentive to do this misbehavior. Well, 100% of them test negative. Okay.
Oy.
So they keep them in the hospital till they're feeling better, and then they take them back to the nursing home. Well, now you're coming into the nursing home, and you got to get tested again, and then they test positive again. So how can an individual test positive, negative, and positive within the same week?
That was Connecticut.
Yeah.
Well, the way you can do it is that the test is a complete work of fiction.
Right. It is. The tests are, and that's the weakness. When I said that they mm-hmm. overplayed their hand on the testing, had the testing not been so ramped up, these kinds of things would never have happened. But when they ramped it up and they said, "We're going to knock on doors and test. You can't get in the hospital without a test. You can't get medical care without a test. You have a test for this and a test for that." They ramped up all this testing, and all of a sudden, if you're using a fake test, the law of numbers, statistics tells you that you're going to have some wild things happen, like, in Florida. We just got a memo from a group that sent 50 unused test kits in, and half of them came back positive. And, of course, everybody's seen that video on TV, on the Internet, about the president of Tanzania testing fruit and motor oil.
Yeah, pawpaw. Oh, motor oil. I missed the motor oil. I heard the pawpaw fruit and the goat.
I mean, it's just so anyway, if they had been much quieter and a little bit low-key on the tests, They would have been, they probably could have kept this going for longer, but the fake tests are really getting a lot of people's attention. And we think that DeSantis in Florida is not compromised because he's actually said on television he's looking into the labs with all the positives and also asking people to come forward who claim that they did not show up for the test but got a positive result in the mail. And so so we seem to have at least one honest governor in the bunch, and boy, that's a fly in the ointment. You know, you get an honest guy involved in this and you could really have a big problem.
Just one. I mean, testing positive for something is not a diagnosis.
It doesn't mean anything at all. And I mean, and again, you know, if you wanted to just gin up fear, think about if every year you started in January and every 15 minutes you're talking about how many people get a cold. You could, and then you start talking about people die of a cold. Well, I mean, if you're 94 years old and taking 11 medications, you could die of a cold.
Or a bad splash of mayonnaise. If you're compromised enough, pretty much anything can kill you. I mean, everyone dies.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Eventually,
so,
nothing
so
kills you.
You could gin this up about all kinds of other things. But let's just hope for better times. I really appreciate you taking all this time to talk with me.
All right,
It was fun.
Pam, thank you for the work that you're doing. You're now introduced to my listeners. I will ask them for their feedback. Please send it to me, editors@planetwaves.net. Pam, how do we reach you?
My email address is pampopper@msn.com. And if you want to join our cause, makeamericansfreeagain.com.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
just a cool fool. Never could do no wrong. You had everything sewn up tight. How could you lay awake all night long? Just one thing I ask of you. Just one thing for me. It's time you go forth. jubilee.